Well, this is the end, and you're warm, aren't you? I can see you're fanning. There's nothing, no emergency thing we can do to cool it off. Could we open doors or anything? Because they'll sleep during this session if it's this warm. Well, if you need to stand up to keep yourself awake, now you can slap yourself, don't slap your neighbor. If you stand up at 5'10", you got to stand at the back. You're too tall to stand in the front. Our last talk is about my imaginary friend, okay? Now, did you ever see those cartoons where they had a little white guy with an angel suit on? You know, back in the olden days, the normal cartoons where they were just goofy and not evil. They had a little cartoon on the one was a little angel that it would tell you to say good things. And then you had the little bad guy with the pitchfork that would tell you the bad things to do, right? Well, I'm going to talk to you today about my imaginary friend. Now, when I was a child, you could tell I didn't have a normal childhood, so I didn't really have this person that walked around with me all the time, and I talked to this person, you know. How many of you had an imaginary friend that was with you all the time? JoJo, you're lying. She's lying. I could tell she was lying. But if you did, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Well, I'd like to talk to you about my imaginary friend. Of course, my imaginary friend is Jesus. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for these ladies. I thank you for the chance that I have to speak to them this final time. I pray, Lord, that you'll use this to be a challenge to them. I pray that we'll be able to be a better people for having been here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer to than a brother. Now, what I'm saying is I've got an imaginary friend that sits on my shoulder, and he talks to me and tells me the right things to do. But do you know how that imaginary friend talks to me? It's through his word. See, many of you missed the chance to have your imaginary friend there to keep you from messing up because you don't read the word. Now, I have never seen a 900-foot Jesus. You know, I'm not one of those people, a prophet, that's seen, and I've never heard a voice from heaven. Now, if I'm standing here and I tell you that I hear a voice tells me something, there's something wrong with me, you better run out of the building right away because I'm crazy. So I'm not saying I actually hear an audible voice, but I'm saying that God speaks to me because I have a relationship with the Word of God. Because I've been reading the Bible, God speaks to me. Now, let me tell you some things that, number one, what happens to me, how my imaginary friend helps me is he helps me walk away without getting ugly. You know, I don't know about you, but I get put out with people. You know, I think they're just stupid. You know, we're just surrounded by stupid people. You know, I go to McDonald's. I'm cheap, you know, so that's a good place to go. You know, Brother Ennis was teasing about taking Mrs. Ennis to McDonald's on their 100th year anniversary. I hope they make it. I'd love to have a picture and see it on Facebook, everything. You know, that'd be great. But anyway, I go to McDonald's, and it's easy for me to get aggravated with the clerks. Are y'all with me on this? You know, do people just seem to not care about service? I am your customer. Look at me. Do right by me. That's what I want to say to them. I want to shake them sometimes. We were in somewhere in Texas, and Jeannie and I have to go to McDonald's to use their Wi-Fi a lot of times to do a lot of downloads and all that. And so we went to this McDonald's to do some work. And when I go there, I think it's a principle that I should spend some money. At that time, we were on this diet. It's called the Ducan diet. Are y'all in the diet of the week club? I am. You know, I use it all the time. I was on this Ducan diet, and it was a low-fat, you know, low-fat, high-protein diet. And we could have grilled chicken. You know those $1.25 wraps that they have at McDonald's? We didn't eat the other stuff on it, but we just eat the grilled chicken. So we ate six meals a day at that time. So I said, let's get a grilled chicken wrap. But the only thing that you can have for a sauce when you're on a diet is mustard. You know, it doesn't have any calories. It's wonderful. You know, if you don't like it, you learn to like it. If you get tired of just eating chicken, you know. So you can get mustard. So I went up to this stand. Jeannie went and set up her laptop over here in the corner. And I said, I'll go get the two wraps. So I walked up to the counter and I said, I'd like to have two grilled chicken wraps. And the guy, he went and got the grilled chicken wraps. And I said, could I have some packets of mustard? And he looked at me and he said, I don't have any mustard. I said, this is McDonald's. You know, in my mind, I didn't say this to him. I just sort of looked at him like, you got to be kidding. Have you ever thought, say, you got to be kidding. You know, is there something wrong with you? You know, so he said, I don't have any mustard. I said, I'll wait here if you want to go in the back and get some. He said, I can't leave the register and I don't have any mustard. I said, I just sort of looked at him pleadingly. You know, sometimes when people are mistreating me, and I want to be nice, but I really on the bottom of my toes and starts working up my legs, I want to just snap at him. Go find me some mustard right now while I'm waiting. You know, I am your customer. Take care of me. You know, I want to teach him. I want to call the manager. You know, anything. I just want to do something, some action. Well, it must have been on the 17th of the month because, it must have been, it's 2 Thessalonians 3:2. I must have read that verse that morning for my devotions because all of a sudden my imaginary friend kicked in and he read this verse to me. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Right? How many of you have unreasonable, wicked men in your life? Yes. We all do. I mean, you know, we deal with all kinds of people. I'm not talking about my husband now. Don't quote me on that, please. Please. But anyway, then the last part of the verse says, for all men have not faith. Do you understand that the way you treated Marvin last night made him decide whether he wanted to be saved or not? I'm not kidding. You know, you got to be nice to these people. But so I looked at him and I thought, I really want my mustard, you know, and I don't want to be unkind to this man. And so I saw the girl that was over in the drive-thru working. She came over to get something. I said, ma'am, do you have any mustard over there? And she just reached right down under the counter, pulled out 2 packs of mustard and gave it to me. Now, because that verse, my imaginary friend was talking to me, I didn't go, nah, 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 nah. You know, do you remember being a kid doing that to somebody? But I didn't do it. I just walked away. Well, I was sitting over there and we were working, and all of a sudden, I wanted a cup of coffee. You know, I've told you my story about how I like McDonald's coffee. It's because it's hot, you know, and I get senior citizens. You know, they don't card you. Did you know they don't card you? One of the managers told me that. Said, nobody's ever card you. You know, if you want to get a senior citizen coffee, go ahead. And I said, okay, I will. I just took it on myself to do it all the time. So, 55 cents most places, you know, senior citizen coffee. So, I went up there. At that place, it was in Texas, and it was 75 cents and 3 cents, no, 78 cents total is what the cost was. So that I said, okay, sir, could I have a senior citizen coffee? And I gave him a dollar bill. He gives me the coffee, and he gives me 1/4. Now, do you know how much change I was supposed to get? 27 cents, right? Y'all with me on this? Well, I don't know about you, but I care about pennies. You know, I'm a steward of God's money, and God gives me this money. I'm supposed to take care of it. So I said, where's my other 2 pennies? He said, I don't have any change. When I'm lying, I'll let you know. I am telling you the truth. I looked at that man, and it just started in my toes, working its way up. And I so badly wanted to get ugly. But you know what I did? My imaginary friend kicked in. He reminded me of that verse, you know, all men have not faith. I said, okay. I just do without those 2 pennies. And I walked off with my 1/4. Do you understand? You are walking among ugly people. I'm not talking about ugly faces. I'm talking about ugly actions. You know, I walked into a boot store on the way my husband. Y'all want to hear about my horse? You want to hear about my horse? We got this 32-inch little miniature horse. Oh, don't do that. He is very cute. Everybody does that. When he walks in the door, he walks in your church and comes up on the platform. Oh, you know, take care of him. No. But anyway, he travels with us. We have a motorhome. He does not come in the motorhome. When my son, he's 18 years old. He did sneak him in the motorhome, took a picture with his camera during church one time, and showed me the picture. Champ was inside my motorhome. That's awful. A horse. Oh, smell. But anyway, last year, we went and picked up Champ, and he was at a trainer's for 3 months getting all these tricks put on him. He does lots of cute things. He smiles. He curls up his lip and smiles, you know. He'll shake yes and no, and he'll count. Do I look like Champ? And he'll do all kinds of cute things. And so we picked him up in June of last year. Well, it's hot. It was 100 degrees down there, and the trainer said, he shouldn't be in his trailer when it's 100 degrees. And we had, at that point, we hadn't put fans in there to keep it cooler, and it wasn't a regular horse trailer. So Kevin said we needed to drive through the night. So we were driving up 85, and there was a boot store there. So I asked him, could we stop in there? So we went inside the store, and I was trying on boots. Now, I've got a high instep. You know, this thing on the top, it hurts if I got a boot that's too tight. So I was walking around, and this young girl was taking care of me. And I could tell she was a young girl, new worker, because she didn't know as much about boots as I did. You know, but it was all right. I was trying to teach her some things. And so I'm always so helpful. But anyway, so I'm walking around, and I said, could I go over to the sale rack? Because, you know, in Western stores, you don't buy anything unless it's on sale, you know. So while I'm checking these boots out, can I go over on the sale rack? She said, sure, like that. So, you know, I'm very focused. You know, I'm marching over there to the sale rack, and I'm going to look and see if there's anything in there. And I'm walking over there, and all of a sudden a lady came barreling toward me. And I could tell she had a purpose behind her, too. And she thought she owned the store. I could tell that, you know. So she walks up to me. She said, where are you going? And I said, and when somebody comes up to me and they start making me feel attacked, I automatically start shaking my head yes, because I'm trying to get them with me. Do you know that's a psychological thing? I'm doing it to you all right now. Are you listening to me? Anyway, so I said, I'm going over here to look at the sale rack, and she said, those boots cannot go out of that section. Now, let me just tell you something. In my mind, I thought, you know, I wanted to try these on and see if they fit, and I wanted to tell her that girl over there told me I could, but I didn't want to get her in trouble, and so I remembered 2 Thessalonians 3:2, and I said, you know what? For all men have not faith. So I walked back over, and I put the boots up, and I walked over and just looked at the stuff without it. You know, it's easy to walk away without getting ugly when you have your imaginary friend with you. But if you never read your Bible, you don't spend time in God's Word, you can't have your imaginary friend because he can't speak to you. Second reason why you need your imaginary friend is because he helps you care about your children's dignity more than your own personal preferences. Oh, you all didn't warn me that having adult children was going to be so hard. You know, it's worse. You know, when they were young, I used to just say, straighten up, don't do that. Do, you know, now I hardly have any tongue left from biting it, you know, because they do so many dumb things, right? And worse than anything, you got to feel sorry for me because I have my 3 adult children traveling with me all the time. See, now there's an, ooh, you should have felt really sorry for me on that one. They're wonderful kids, I'm just kidding. But it is harder with adults because I can't tell them everything. Because I want to treat them like they're with some respect. You know, it wouldn't hurt for all of us to realize when we're dealing with our children that we need to deal with them with respect. Don't jerk them around. Don't yell at them in front of people. Don't, you know, give them some privacy when you're having to discipline them. But anyway, so Jeannie Mae, my 24-year-old daughter, is traveling with me, and she helps me with my office work. I praise the Lord that I have somebody to help me with my office work. But I have taught her from the ground up how to do these packets. I do packets for these carnivals. And there's a certain way I do it. Y'all have your way that you do things? She started to help me do these packets. And all of a sudden, do you know what she did? She did it a wrong way. She started doing it her way. It must have been on the 20th of the month, Miss Joy, because this verse came up in my mind. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. All of a sudden, I thought, I want my children to be blessed after me. I want Jeannie to like me. And you know what? You all got to realize that she is going to choose my nursing home. Isn't that the truth? I better be good to her. So I just took a deep breath, and I swallowed hard, and we put the packets together the way she was doing it. And I thought, you know what? Really, to do it my way, I might think that I have the most efficient way in the world, but it really doesn't matter. My son, we have a 40-foot motorhome and a trailer behind it, and I went in the motorhome, and I was going to back it up. All of a sudden, my 21-year-old son comes in. Now, you got to know my 21-year-old son. You know, he hasn't been traveling with us and hasn't been driving big rigs a lot. So when he wanted to back up the motorhome, JoJo, I thought, no. You know, but he's 21. I had this great big battle going on in my mind. This little black guy, you know, the little devil, he was saying, don't let him drive that motorhome. He'd probably run through the house with it. You never, you know, he might hit the gas instead of the brake. You know, all the things that you worry about. I love to worry. It's my hobby. You know, it's just, I think it's visionary when I can see what could go wrong. You know, my husband calls that worry. You know, and I tell him, you don't worry about anything. And you know what he says to me? You worry enough for the both of us. These men, they just live in la-la land up here. Don't worry about anything, you know, because they don't see what could happen. Really, it's bad. But I'm bad. I'm just letting you know that. So all of a sudden, though, his children are blessed after him. I thought, you know what? I can let him back this up. And I got up out of the seat, and I let him back it up. It was a small price to pay to give my son the dignity of feeling like he was an adult and could do it. But you know, it's hard. But you know why I could? Because of my imaginary friend. Third way that I could, my imaginary friend helps me, he helps me commit to a good spirit in the home. You know, you ladies here, you are the spirit, you're the atmosphere setter of your home and of your churches. Your temperature establishes how everybody else reacts. Remember I told you we had picked up Champ and we're driving through the night? We had driven all night and we're supposed to be in a meeting, and the preacher called about 8 o'clock that morning and said, Brother Walker, you don't have to be here till Wednesday because we've postponed that meeting to start till Wednesday. So man, it gave us a whole nother day and we didn't have to rush. And I saw that sign that said, Western store, exit such and such, and we were going north on 85. And I said, Kevin, there was a Western store back there. Since he just called, can we stop at that Western store? And he said, sure. He said, call him and find out. You know, I saw that, knew the name, Ray's Western Wear or something like that. And so I said, call him and see if their parking lot's big enough. Well, when he said that, I said, oh, I looked at him and I said, and I always look pained when he asked me to do something that I just feel like I can't do. I said, can you call him? I don't want to call him. And you know why I don't want to call him? Because I don't ask enough details. You know, my husband, he thinks of questions that I could never even dream of asking somebody, you know, about. I just don't think of those details. And then when people tell me things, I don't pay attention good enough sometimes to even know all the things they do tell me. But he said, no. He said, I'm tired and I've been driving. He said, you know, you call him. So I had to do what he said. So I called the Western Shore and I said, now we're going north on 85. And we want to come to your store. Is your parking lot big enough? Yes, it's big enough. And I said, when I get off the exit, which way I go? And the lady said, when you get off 85, turn right. And we're right there on the right. And I said, oh, Kevin, it's going to be easy. Turn right, get off right, turn right. It's right there. You know, doesn't that sound easy? It's like following a GPS, right? So we got off the exit in our big rig, 63 feet long. He turns right. And we look to the right, there's no Western store. He keeps driving. As he's driving, we're getting into a small town. And all of a sudden, I realize I didn't say something right. You know, I don't know what I said wrong. To this day, you know, I can just do things like that. It's just, I don't care. You know, I don't care about those kind of details of life, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, so we're driving along. And when we got off and there was no Western store right there on the right, the whole place got real quiet. Have you ever been there? You know, it was like you could cut it with a knife, you know, because my husband's, we've been driving all night, you know, taking turns driving, but we've been driving all night, and so the aggravation of getting off and going the wrong way, and you can't just turn around a 63-feet rig just anywhere at all. So I'm the navigator, I'm sitting over in the passenger seat, and he's over here, and I'm trying to have a pleasant spirit, right? And so I said to him, I said, oh, look, there's a parking lot coming up here. We can turn around. He said, no, I'm not going to go there. He said, I see that we cross the interstate again. There, we'll get off and go on the interstate again and go back up there. And I said, okay. Now, we all kept quiet because we always know that the GPS is not standard. You know what I mean? It doesn't always, it's not always true to life. It has taken us some really weird places in my life, you know. I was driving our rig up to New York last month, and the GPS took me to this, it took me out into the country to find this church. And when I got out in the country, there was no place to turn around. I just kept driving. Finally, I found a towing shop, and I pulled in, and the guys that were there in the towing shop had to help me drive the motorhome out of their little parking lot because it was a nightmare. So don't trust GPSs. So we're driving along, and all of a sudden, Kevin, we come up to 85, and there's no ramps. So we go driving over it. It gets quieter in the motorhome. And I'm thinking, oh, what can I do? This really and truly, it's my fault. It must have been on the 13th of the month because this verse popped up in my mind. Only by pride cometh contention. Do I want to admit that this is my fault? No. I would like to blame it on anybody else in the motorhome. You know, when things go wrong, who wants to be at fault? But with a well-advised is wisdom. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to break the ice. A good spirit in this home is more important to me than my pride. So I said, attention, attention, everybody. You can see me doing this, can't you? It really happened. I said, attention, and everybody looked up at me, and I said, I just want to announce to everybody that this is my fault. All of a sudden, it was just like, you know, somebody's taking the blame, you know. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back, and don't think bad of my husband, but it really was my fault because I just don't get enough details. So, and I said, what's more, I feel like this is God's will for our life for this moment of day. I said, they had Oreo cookie cows. You know, have you ever seen them? You know, the chocolate on each side, and then there's white in the middle. I said, for instance, look over there to the right, and look at this country scene with those Oreo cookie cows right over there. They're beautiful. And then don't miss on the left over here this beautiful barn. You know, look at the way it's sagging in the middle. You know, I just started being stupid, you know, like that. And it just sort of broke the ice. But only by pride cometh contention. See, but you need your imaginary friend there to remind you of the things you're supposed to think instead of listening to this little guy over here that said, just, it's all his fault. He's the one that should have called anyway. And you know, you understand? You need your imaginary friend to help you through life situations. You need your imaginary friend to help you to be teachable, to have learned something. Now, you know what's going to happen? If you made a decision today, you said, oh, I heard JoJo Moffat talking about having a good spirit, and so I'm going to go home and I'm going to try to be fun instead of such a stick in the mud, you know. And so you go home and things are just a big mess. And you try to be fun and it just goes flat, you know. It just don't work. And so you want to get upset. Is your imaginary friend going to kick in? Have you read your Bible so that the Bible can help rule your spirit instead of your nature ruling your spirit? You know, God is with you all the time. But he will only speak to you by his word. You've got to be in his word. My challenge to you today is, are you in his word? You know, as much as I try to teach people and as much stress as I have in my life, I need his word more than the average person. Maybe you're in it, but you're not in it enough. It's like a vitamin. You know, maybe you're taking it one time a day, but you need to be taking it twice a day. I don't know how many milligrams a day it'll take of the word to keep your spirit right, for you to care about the dignity of your children, to keep you from being ugly to the people that you love. But I'm saying, you've got to work on this. Now bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you so much for these ladies. I thank you for the chance that I've had to speak to them about this subject, about having their imaginary friend. I pray, Father, they'd be honest with themselves about whether they've been in the Word enough. I pray that they would care about your Word speaking to their hearts so that they could be better people for you. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, God has really spoken to my heart, and I will admit to him and to myself that I've not been having my imaginary friend around me very much because I have not been spending time in the Word like I should. Anybody like that? You'd admit it to yourself and to God? Wonderful. Thank you for your honesty. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, God's word has not placed seed in my heart because I've never asked Jesus to come in my heart and save me. Right now, if I were to die, I am not 100% for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Is there anybody like that under the sound of my voice? You do not know 100% for sure that you'd go to heaven when you die, but you'd like to know that? Is there anybody like that? We always want to give you a chance to do that. Now, this is the end of the conference. It's a great opportunity for you to be able to make a decision for Christ. We're going to have a time in just a few minutes for you to come up and say, I am going to make a decision about such and such. Whether it's you're going to have a better spirit in the home, whether you're going to be more, I don't know what JoJo taught while I was out of here, maybe you teenage girls, you say, you know what, I'm too sensitive and I'm going to work on not being so judgmental. What you have made a decision of some means during this meeting today. I would like for 20 ladies to come up and share that decision. You know what will happen if you'll do that? By you sharing what you're going to go home and do, it will encourage somebody else. Maybe they said, you know what, I should do that too. And what I have found, ladies, is if you have made a decision, you can only do one thing at a time when you go home. We are multitaskers, but we can't work on our weaknesses in multiples. So I'm just encouraging you. Think of one thing you need to do to go home and fix it. And I'd like to ask you, when I have you look up, I'd like to ask you to come up here and talk in a microphone and tell what those things are. Father, thank you for these ladies. Thank you for the teachable spirit. Thank you for the way they've just sat and listened during this whole meeting. I now pray that you'll bless this invitation time and the two phases of it. I pray you'll help us to learn even more about how to be better for you. In Jesus' name, amen.